Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWNC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWNC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Arakantulahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Karita Akbar, welcoming you to another episode of Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night, inshallah, from 7 to 9 p.m. as we highlight the people, the brothers and sisters in our communities that use their God-given talents to help we make the world into a better place for all people. Tonight, we have two special guests that we are going to be speaking with, and we are going to introduce the first one now. It is Imam Shahid Abdullah, who has been with us several times. He is going to have a brief discussion with us tonight, a very brief discussion. He has some updates, and then he also has some additional information to share. So stay tuned, and then when we come back, our special guest will be introduced, inshallah. Welcome to Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. We'll take a station break, and we'll be right back after this station break. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. Again, I am your host, Sister Khalida Akbar, welcoming you to Narrative Aspirations. We have had Brother Imam Shahib Abdullah with us for several weeks now, and he has some new updates. So we're going to go ahead and bring him in. Those of you who have been with us know that he is the African-American griot, one who studies historical information and also brings us facts and pertinent information on how we can apply that information in our lives and use it to develop and cultivate our culture. And so with no further ado, we're going to bring in Imam Shahid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam. Sister Khalida, I'm very, very, very happy and pleased that you're able to give me an opportunity to say a few words on your program. First, I want to begin by opening Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadin abduhu wa rasul. I just want to thank you once again because I had to do some things. We had a very wonderful program planned for Charlotte, and the event was we think it was going to be outstanding and going to give Charlotte an opportunity to do what it does best. It hosts great shows and great programs for many Muslim communities throughout the country. And we had a personal situation to come up involving family that caused me to have to cancel that event. It was supposed to be in August 11th and through the 13th, but we had to cancel that event, and we know we've been getting many calls from people who were planning to come, but sometimes things come up in our path that not necessarily unforeseen, because this problem that came up in our situation wasn't unforeseen. It was lingering, and we tried to get it done before we really had to concentrate on the event. But it wasn't possible. In fact, until today, because today we received knowledge on being able to solve the situation, and we're able to look forward to doing some really great things. And I want to say that sometimes Allah, sometimes when a door closes, another door opens. And that means, as you know, and many of you experienced this before, if you just keep a positive look, a positive outlook, and a positive inward look, we will be able to see what is good and sometimes what is best. And in our situation, some great things have just happened just in a matter of, I almost could say moments, but just recently, to really give us an opportunity to express what we've been talking about in the last several weeks in terms of the knowledge collection, that which Allah has blessed me to write and do the research, because it's so valuable that we have people aboard who research our story and tell it in a way that it becomes a positive story for growth and development. Many of you are very astute when it comes down to knowing what culture is about. I was just listening to a few minutes on the brothers who just had the program a little while ago, and they talked about culture and the value of culture, what Imam Muhammad emphasized in terms of culture. Culture is probably the single most important factor to change the outlook of a group of people and to improve it or cause it to go in a direction that is not as beneficial for that group as it would have been had it gone in a direction of a positive enlightenment. Imam Muhammad expressed the importance of culture. To express it, importance, how culture is so important, that you can have people in the same race, you can have people from the same almost nationality or very connected biologically speaking or even politically. But when you start looking at the people changing their culture and the ideas and things that they believe in or don't believe in, those same people who are blood ties can go to war against one another. That's how powerful culture is. Culture can, as they say, break the deal. It is culture. And this is why I love so much talking about culture, because I know it can be a deal breaker. That doesn't mean necessarily make things worse, but it also can make things better. In our case, because we're in a special place in the history of America, culture will make things better for us. Every one of our leaders who had something to say for the African-American people, they talked about culture. And they used different terms. Some used terms like nation, some used terms like community, some used terms like people. They used different terms, but all of them primarily mean culture, because culture is a social manifestation of a group of people who come together and use it to propagate their existence, propagate their ideas. They have values and mores and ways to looking at religion, all of those things. And one of the most important things is that a culture is what they actually live on. They actually live on. An example of that. Do you know the Hebrew people or the Jewish people or the people, you call them by many different names, during the course of history, that they used culture as a way of living? They wasn't even moving through the world biologically speaking, because they were just different families. They wasn't from different parts of the world in terms of they all were Egyptian or they all were let's say English, or all was German. They were different parts, but what they had in common was their culture was a merchant's culture. They bought and sold things, and that has caused them to go all the way through history, all the way through the time, because the culture kept them together. Now, the African-American people is a little different. The African-American people, when we were brought here as Africans, or some of us came on our own, we had cultures, but they're from different parts of Africa and from different cultures within Africa. But when we came here, those cultures were wiped away, and Allah blessed us to develop a new culture. And I remember Imam Muhammad saying one time, he said that if you do something good of great value, Allah is with you. Allah is with good. And I do believe in what our foreparents were saying, And I do believe in what Imam Muhammad was saying, even the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying, that we have been blessed by Allah to propagate our uniqueness, to propagate our special characteristics in terms of what we have to offer as a people to the world. We have been blessed by Allah to do that. Now, many of us might not see that, and it could be just lip service for some of us. But for some, it's a reality. And that reality
okay,
is
so Iman Shahid,
we operate. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. And we thank you so much for giving us that update and reiterating the importance of having culture in every community life, because we know that that is the source of excellence. That brings us together. That gives us a certain sense of identity, pride, and also motivates us to not only build something for ourselves, but look forward to our future generations and building generational wealth. So we thank you for that reminder. We do have a special guest that will be joining us tonight, and he will be sharing also how he is remaking the world, inshallah, into another, a better place for all people, and looking at other perspectives of how to do that. And if you could give our listening audience some information on how to get your knowledge collection, and also what is your plan moving forward to replace the event, or what are your plans for the future so the people can join in and attend, inshallah?
Oh, that's thank you. That's good. Our plans are pretty much what they have always been. Our plan, because as a Bilalian, African Bilalian American griot, you know, my responsibility is to gather historical information and current information about the development of the African American people. And that's the goal, that's the objective. And we have been able to do that over the years, and Allah has blessed us to accumulate so much of this knowledge and information that it really is an eye-opener for most of us. And I've put it into a knowledge collection. Four of the books I've written myself, Success is Automatic, and Unleash the Power of the Industrious Nature and Achieve Your Dream, and The River of Gold, and then the other book, Spirit of Allah, which means that a community is born calling the world to human excellence. And the final book is Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. And you can get all of my books just simply by either calling me directly at 908-296-2558. That's 908-296-2558. Or you can go to Shahid _ Abdullah and email me. That's Shahid _Abdullah 2000 at yahoo.com. Or you can go straight to Amazon. If you use Amazon, go to Amazon, put in my name, and put in the name of any of the books, and you can order them directly. One of the books that is part of the knowledge collection, you have to get directly from me. It was a blessing that we got this book. It's called The Negro Market. That's the book that talks about the development of the African-American community that took place between 1896 and 1932. That's where you hear some talk today about Black Wall Street. That was that period of time. Only Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma was just part of this huge development that was going on during that time, and big, much bigger than Chinatown and all the other, the Little Italy, all these places where these different groups are growing. The number one growing, economically growing community or group of people in America was the African American community. And this book, The Negro Market, highlights that. It even says that the African American have grown in their isolation, during the time of segregation, have grown that and become so self-sufficient as any nation would have done in the same situation. So these books are just powerful books, and you must have them in your library, because if we don't know much about ourselves, then we're just talking about everybody else, and we're emotionally dealing with ourselves. We have to get beyond the emotional and baggage. Let's let's go like we had a baseball game or a football game, cheering the team on, going, going, going. That we have to get beyond. We have to become builders. We have to become scientists. We have to become more doctors, more educators. Everything we have to do has to have our trademark on it, our African-American culture trademark on it, because a people that, that cannot do for themselves must beg the world for help. And we are not beggars, and Allah never intended for us to be beggars. He intended for no people to be beggars. In fact, that's why he's created man to be self-sufficient, created man to move forward. And that's what we must take into consideration. And when you get these books, when you get this knowledge collection, you're going to see how it stimulates your drive to achieve. Stimulates your will to want to overcome any situation, or if you're in a good situation, you're going to want to make it better. These books are very powerful books to stimulate the mind and hearts of the African-American people. Just be sure that you can call me directly, or you can call Sister Khalilah. She has the information, this station, and I'll be more than happy to ship out the books to you, and we are going to be going around the country now with presentations about this growth and development in the African-American community.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. And callers, as you heard, you can go on Amazon or you can contact Imam Shahid Abdullah and directly and get the book. I can attest, I'm telling you, success is automatic. It's phenomenal. It's just not talking about culture, but it's talking about the individual, because we believe that everything begins with self. Can't give out what we don't have. And in order for us to remake the world, we have to first remake ourselves and get in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as Khalifa. If we're already in line, refine it, redefine it, because as every time we change to a different age, we should be growing. And every time we have a new opportunity to experience Ramadan, we should come out a new person. We should not be the same person at the same level dealing with the same things. Allah expects us to grow and use the intellect that he gave us. So these books are an opportunity to look at our individual selves, our families, and our communities. And most importantly, develop a culture of excellence. Using the guidelines of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, it talks about the four birds to establish a community, a society like we have here in the United States of America, the business, the culture, first of all, I'm sorry, business, education, government, and culture. I like to say I'm in that order because it's very important. And we want you to know that these books are research-based, okay? Imam Shahid Abdullah did a lot of research, and as he said, he has a special book that you can only get through him because he was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to come across the book. So these are facts. These aren't things that we're talking about or he's talking about emotionally. These aren't things that we're just putting out there and giving us a euphoria, but these are things that we can really use in our lives. And as a community, as we look around, as African-American community, we look around and we see most of our peers, most of the people of other faith traditions, even other cultures and races, as he mentioned, the Jewish tradition, they have established communities, and they're continuing to do that. And we have to look back at what we have had in the past and believe enough in ourselves that we can work together, we can progress, we can build a model community for all people, and we can give our children, our young adults, a tradition of culture and of excellence, because we come from excellence. Inshallah, if you have a question or comment for Imam Shahid Abdullah, press 1 to come into the queue. And at this time, we're going to transition to a short station break. And when we come back, I will introduce our next speaker. Imam Shahid Abdullah, any closing comments? Did you confirm the date of your next event? Or did you just say you're going to be going, doing presentations, and you'll get that information out?
Yeah, we'll get that information out. We haven't confirmed the date, but we did confirm the season. In other words, there's events we're going to be doing during the season. One going to be in February, and the other one's going to be a year from this July. In fact, it'll be July 4th of next year.
Inshallah. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you with excellence. Get those books and grow your brain. That's what I tell my students at school. We can all increase in knowledge. We need to make that dua right now. Oh, Allah, please increase us in knowledge. Oh, Allah, please increase us in knowledge. Oh, Allah, please increase us in knowledge. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We'll be right back after this station break. And thank you, Imam Shahid Abdullah.
Alhamdulillah, thank you. You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in LSLaw. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Walid-ud-Din Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Abdullah, Executive Director for CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. With God's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We are openly acknowledging that God is one, that there are absolutely no partners with God, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of the one God. Through his example, we are able to live in this time, 450 years beyond the time of enslavement here in the United States of America. Proactively and from the mercy of the Almighty, we stand with the human family that Juneteenth is a reminder of what once was and how we can take a stand and be a contributing factor to the human family for the best of humanity, continuing to strive with the excellence that our foreparents stood with and for, many who lost their lives because they chose not to be subdued and treated inhumanely. Juneteenth, again, is as a soul arising by the mercy of the one God. And now, welcome, dear human family, to Juneteenth 2021.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
All right, and we are back, and we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you being with us today. We are going to go ahead and introduce our next guest, and because this is his first time joining us here on Narrative Aspirations and American Muslim 360, we welcome him to the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice. All right, so let's go ahead and introduce our special guest. Callers, feel free, as he is speaking, to press 1 if you have any questions or comments to come into the queue. Our next guest name is Dean Ibn Charles. He is introducing Al-Kubalan Tai Chi. Al-Kubalan Tai Chi. He is a native of North Carolina. He is the oldest of three children. He came reverted to Islam at the age of 19 years old while serving in the United States Air Force. He served as an aircraft electrician before receiving an honorable discharge. He worked for Duke Energy for 4 years, moving on to work for Daimler as an electrician for 20 years. He retired at age 55. He began his martial arts career as a teenager. At Sensei Robert English School in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, which is his hometown. He took a 6-week orientation course under the first Akubalan, he will pronounce it for us, African American in Fayetteville, North Carolina. He completed his black belt program at the House of Silk in Huntersville, North Carolina in 2007. He also completed his first level of Tai Chi at the House of Soki in 2007. He attained his certification as a Tai Chi instructor in 2023. He teaches Tai Chi classes every Monday and Wednesday evening from 6:30 to 7:30 at Martin Luther King Junior High School in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's also going to begin some free classes, inshallah, in July on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Muslim Center here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So tonight, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So without further ado, we're going to bring into the queue Brother Dean Ibn Charles, and he's going to give us some information about the courses that he is offering in Tai Chi here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and also some information that is pertinent to health. He's going to share with us, inshallah, how he is using his God-given talents to help remake the world into a better place for all people, beginning with self, family, community, and looking at how he can take it out and remake the world. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dean Ibn Charles.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
All right, so welcome to Narrative Aspirations. On this show, we talk about how we are using our aspirations, our gifts, our inspirations to make a difference, basically. And you shared via your bio that that is what you are doing, and you had an inspiration. So can you go ahead and give us a little more information? If there's anything that we left out of the bio that you want to go ahead and give some more information to, you can do that at this time. And then go ahead and tell us why, your why. Why did you go into Tai Chi? And then we'll take it from there, inshallah.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank you and your staff for inviting me to your show. I think you guys are doing a very wonderful job. I'm just overwhelmed at the fact that we still have people trying to make a difference in this world. So I'm just honored to be a part of it. I'd like to open up. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu, wassalamu ala rasulullah wa ba'd. That is, I'm sending praises to the Almighty Creator, Allah, and salutations of peace on His last messenger and prophet, Muhammad. With that being said, I've been in the arts all of my adult life. Tai Chi is an art. It's a part of the martial arts family. And Tai Chi is considered internal martial art versus the hard style like I took originally, or I got my black belt in. It's a Shotokan. It's a hard style. We're known for our knuckles, doing push-ups with our knuckles. It's a hard style. And I tell people that these hard styles, Japanese hard styles, are excellent for people under 40, from 7 a.m., 7 years old up until 40. But afterwards, and even beforehand, Tai Chi, in my belief, is the best, most comprehensive exercise health program in the world. According to Harvard University, just the exercise part of it is the second best program in the world. They've done a study of all the exercise programs worldwide. As you know, people now worldwide has, you know, they see the importance of taking care of themselves, you know, exercise-wise and health-wise. And so they have their own Tai Chi program. They think so much about it, Harvard University. And then we have the health part, which we put a lot of emphasis in. And I talk about some of those health benefits, some of the questions that the guests, you know, staff have concerning health or exercise. We also have the third wing is, you know, we don't teach in our public facilities because we're not allowed. It's called combative Tai Chi, which let me just first of all say Tai Chi. The meaning of Tai Chi is ultimate supreme fist, F-I-S-T, meaning that the Tai Chi warriors are some of the best-known fighters in the world. But, again, we in our recreation facilities that you mentioned, other places, we basically focus on exercise and health, not the combative. So,
okay, so Brother Gene, did I pronounce that right? Can you, is it Akugalan, or can you pronounce that
Akugalan,
for us, please?
Yes, the word Akugalan is, we're very popular prior to colonialism in what we call Africa. Africa is named after an individual, a Roman named Africanus, and that's how that continent got that name. So we, as part of my school, being the first African-American or Akugalanian in adult person in this metro Charlotte area to be certified as a Tai Chi instructor, we felt the need of also of educating our public, the students that come to our classes, on our history, you know, African history. That term was very commonly known centuries ago. It's rarely known now by most people, you know, unless you're really a student of history. Yeah, so you pronounced it right.
Okay, so can you tell me what is your why? You gave us an overview, but what inspired you to actually go into Tai Chi personally, and how do you plan to use it to promote human excellence outside of what you're doing now in Shawa?
Okay, well, I, you know, after completing my belt and as I got older, particularly once I reached 50, I started looking around for a way of staying in shape, you know, physically. The things I was doing prior, prior to 50, I couldn't do anymore, really, effectively anyhow. The common sports that's known in the West, like basketball, track, football, you know, the two footballs, the American and the international football, is, you know, 50-year-olds mostly found it very difficult to participate in. So I thought about everything I had been involved in, and I said, Tai Chi is it, you know, go back to Tai Chi, you know, step up to Tai Chi, actually. And I started seeking a teacher, my prior teacher that I'd done my first level in. He wasn't available, but I found another teacher. Her name is Maya Carr. She teaches Tai Chi for Health at Eastway Recreation Center. And any of your guests in this area, I would definitely recommend if they you know, have any kind of health problems, you know, and they want to look at fitness as a way of, you know, addressing those problems. She's one of the best. I would say she's the best in this area. She's been doing it since the 90s. She has two black belts in martial arts, the hard style, but then she's been teaching Tai Chi also since the 90s. So That was my why, just for myself, looking at a program that I can do consistently and you know, and once I got involved and met her, was introduced to her and joined her classes, I got so inspired about it that I not only want to benefit myself, but I want to share the love, I say, with the public, particularly those people I'm closer to, the believers, and people from Africa, Africans. Because I looked around and I noticed that we were struggling, not only myself, but others were struggling, 40 and over, particularly as you go from stage to stage, the next 10 years, 50 and over. I see a lot of people, so I say, okay, this could be a great help. Because I think there's three pillars in life, so I'm going to get that made. Yes, they're very important. And I think these pillars, in my view, are the most important pillars or foundations. The first one is your faith. You know, whatever your faith is, understanding it to the best of your ability, then applying it, you know, putting it into practice. And then the second pillar is your health. And the last one would be your freedom. You know, we used to say is, you know, I'm going to go back to the common term, African-American. You know, people would do anything for freedom after we got it, after being enslaved for more than 200 years, 300 years, some say 400 years. But health is actually more important than freedom, if you think about it. And then, of course, your faith is the most important. So once you have those three foundations you put together, you're rich. You know, you might not have money. But if you know how to get money, even if you don't know, you can learn, you're a rich person.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So we thank you for that overview. So what are some of the behavior patterns that you see that are coming to Tai Chi, and what type of instruction do you usually start out with? Because I noticed you said people 40 and over. What type of what is your average client or average participant look like? Are they, you know, what is the average person that comes to you, and what do you start them out with?
Well, most of my students are, I would say the average person is 50 years old. The average person is 50. Because, you know, a younger person under 40 have a lot of options. They have the energy, they have the ability, and, you know, they can do hard style things, be it riding bicycles for long distances, climbing mountains, whatever, you know, the many, many choices you have out there. And as long as you're doing something, it's great. You know, we don't play down anything. We, you know, but we believe in the Tai Chi world, and it has become very, very popular in the West. It's only been taught here less than 200 years. I mean, commonly taught. It's opened up now, and so many people are coming to now. When I came on board, my senior teachers in this area, in the metro Charlotte area, they were so happy that I stepped up to the instructor's level, because they were saying, the Europeans are very well, they know Tai Chi. I mean, they have become knowledgeable of Tai Chi and the importance of it. And all their classes are full up north, the little small towns up above Charlotte North, be it Huntersville, Cornelius, Davidson, Mooresville, all the way up to Statesville, actually. But the African Americans, we heard of it, but in most cases, you find that the general public are not really knowledgeable of it. And yeah, that's one of the reasons but my average person is, but, you know, I can teach anyone. I can say, you know, any age, 7 and above, and I can teach them Tai Chi. But, yeah, most of my customers are students, 50, around that age.
So you would describe Tai Chi as a gentle form of exercise? Is it really internal? How does it compare in comparison to yoga?
Well, you know, yoga is very, very beneficial. They're actually more organized in terms of being certified, you know, the system, the organization, the business side of it is more organized than Tai Chi, but we believe that Tai Chi, the benefits you get from yoga, you can get from Tai Chi plus. Like yoga, you don't know how to fight. And so there's no protection program in there, but also just on the exercise and the health aspect, we go into more areas in Tai Chi. We deal with all your internal organs. Qi itself, let me just mention Qi. Qi is energy, and we got what we call meridians, which Qi flows through, okay? And so everything you can get out of yoga, again, specifically, you can get Tai Chi plus. Just in the, if you break it in three categories, the exercise, the health, you will get more in Tai Chi. You know, of course, you get what you get out of something that what you put into it. And if you have great teachers like Maya Carr and others that's in this area, like Mike Gentile, who's willing to give us information up, and my acupuncture teacher, there's another wing of Tai Chi, it's acupuncture. And even coupling, you know, is Tai Chi. Tai Chi deals with, I mean, every aspect of your life, how you stand, how you breathe, how you lie down. You know, we address these issues in our classes. So we it's very good, yoga, take nothing away from yoga, but you get more from Tai Chi if you got good instructors or instructors.
All right, so we're going to take a short station break, and we want you to go over some of the techniques of Tai Chi, inshallah, some basic techniques. Why should we come to Tai Chi class? Inspire us to come. Tell us how that can make a difference in our lives. Why Tai Chi instead of yoga, instead of aerobics, et cetera? You already said it's like a mild or gentle form of exercise, and it works well for people over maybe age 40 or 50. We get that, but why should we calm? What health benefits does it have, and what does it prevent? So we're going to take a short station break and think of those things. Why should we come to you? Tell us your why. Tell us your organization, your program. I know it sells itself, but as you are a business owner and one who is coming into it with a passion and you're trying to help people become healthier and live a healthier lifestyle, because we know health is wealth. So we want you to tell us, you know, give us some indication of why we should come to Tai Chi, and also tell us some of the introductory techniques. So, inshallah, we'll be right back after this station break.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sugar Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Nikhil Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar welcoming you back to Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Join us each and every Wednesday night, inshallah, from 7 to 8 p.m. as we bring in a mover and a shaker, someone in our community who uses their God-given talents to help remake the world. And then from 8 to 9, Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh, one of his excellent recordings that we have here in our studio. Also, you can leave a listener comment at any time at 910-317-0217. Okay? So make sure that you're also connecting with us online at am360.org or by our 24-hour stream, live streaming, 701-719-4197. Join us live in the studio by dialing 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. You can also email us at info@cwsc.us. That is info, I-N-F-O, at C as in cat, W as in wife, S as in studies, and C as in community. CWSC.us. Okay? So, inshallah, we will hear from you one way or the other. You can also tweet us at CWS Shura, which is spelled capital C, capital W, capital S, H-U-R-A-A. And like us on Facebook. We are the Community-Wide Shura Conference. Visit the website of our parent company, the Community-Wide Shura Conference. So AM360 and American Muslim 360 Radio and also our parent company is CWSC. All right. So we look forward to hearing from you. Please leave us a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world into a better place for all people. So we're going to go back and welcome our special guest tonight. Brother Dean Ibn Charles, who is here in Charlotte, North Carolina, who has done some amazing things in his life and actually retired early, followed all the proper protocols, served in the Air Force, inshallah, and he's also given us a brief historical background. He is also a strong family brother, strong with his family and dedicated to his family, and also he works diligently in the community. So he's well-balanced and well-rounded. And so we are promoting that as well. As we look over his bio, he talked mainly about his accomplishments and going to the service also working as an electrical engineer, and at Duke Energy is our main power plant here in the Carolinas. So he's done some amazing things. So as we say, over 50, it's our part two, now or never. With that, the pandemic, everybody has got that mindset, like, hey, whatever you didn't get to do, do it now, because we never know. And truth be told, as Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, we're going to live our lives as if we would live forever, yet as if we would return to Allah tomorrow or any day, any time. So we never know. But just the pandemic just brought it more real. It brought it more home to so many people, because we lost a lot of people returned to Allah. And we know that Allah says the believers, when they return to Him, they're martyrs. So inshallah, they are in Jannah, and Allah has blessed them for the best of their deeds and forgiven them for the worst of their deeds. Those of us who are still here, we have a chance. We have a chance to make our Khalifa mission, whatever that may be. And we always encourage you here on Narrative Aspirations to tune in with Allah. Check in with Allah. He comes first, right? We know we make our five prayers daily. We know that we have extra prayers, tahajjud, and we know during we can get up in the wee hours in the morning and make instakara, and also doing, of course, Ramadan, we have the Taraweeh prayers, and we can make those. But those are just some of the prayers that we can make to get closer to Allah. We also fast. We can increase our zakat and charity, and we know it's not always financial. We can give a smile. We can volunteer time at the masjid. As Dean Ibn Charles made a comment about him opening up a free class. So those are some ways that you can do it. Everybody does not go through the same door. Remember, as Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimullah Ali said, we don't always have to go through the same door. Find your niche. Find that gift that Allah gave you, and he reveals it to you all the time. It's not the same thing the whole way through life. But many of us, if we're at that age where you've been there, done that, what's next, really tap into Allah. Increase your reading in the Quran. That's one of the things that work well for me. It just jumps right out there. And pray sincerely. Block out everything else. Turn it off. Make sure you're on time as much as possible, and give it 100%. Do not allow salat to become a routine. When you're just going through the motions, before you know it, you'd have made all four rakats. You don't remember nothing or anything you said to Allah, or you were thinking about something else. Astaghfirullah. Make sure you're giving it all. You're putting your mind on that floor as well as your head. And you're giving Allah your heart, your mind, your body, and your intellect, okay, and your soul, because Allah says to bring to Him a sound heart. He didn't say bring to me that excellent intellect, bring to me a wad of money, bring to me, you know, all these deeds that you've done. He said a sound heart, because He is the only one who can see into our hearts. And so in order to have a sound heart, you have to be right. We got to get rid of any isms that we have. We got to look at ourselves and work on ourselves from the inside out. And I believe that's what Tai Chi will help us do, in addition to the things that we discussed, talked a little bit about in our deen. So, Brother Dean Ibn, can you tell us why Tai Chi?
Yes, why Tai Chi is becoming so popular here in the West. Is so many benefits, but I'm going to focus on the health, exercise and the health, which when you say exercise, is actually a part of health, just a wing of health. Some of the municipal benefits of Tai Chi people gain shortly after applying, practicing Tai Chi. We have several forms that we do. Let me just mention our basic approach to it in terms of the forms and what you should expect coming to a Tai Chi class. First thing is some of the basic things we go through. We have an introduction class, which educate a person on some of the basic fundamentals that we should already know, but commonly it's not taught, is how to breathe, how to stand properly, meaning having your weight equally distributed over both legs. You know, by doing this, it's going to help prevent joint injuries. Also, your organs, when you don't, we call this alignment. When you're not aligned and you got most of your weight on one leg versus the other, first of all, you're wearing out that part of the body that's carrying that weight. But then also your organs, when that weight is not distributed, is affecting your organs, your internal organs. We deal with breathing. A lot of emphasis is placed on breathing. We start out in what we call the woo position, which is making you become what we call mindfulness. You are in the moment versus thinking about whatever was taking place prior to starting your practice of that class or that practice of Tai Chi. You can do Tai Chi anywhere, in your house, in your backyard, in the parks. It's commonly done in the mornings and the afternoons, 20 to 30 minutes a day. But again, going back to the municipal benefit, health benefits, is balance. You learn your balance. You learn how to breathe properly. You learn how to stand properly. You learn how to walk properly by using all your complete part of your feet or your foot. And breathing as you walk, coordinating all these different things. Tai Chi address chronic conditions like arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure. You'll be amazed at what the mind can do when you learn how to use it to focus on healing yourself. It's amazing. Again, Chi is energy. It's spelled two different ways. We normally say C-H-I, but also we have another Chi when we're just practicing increasing our Chi. It's called Q-I, spelled Q-I. So, but again, when you come to our class, we basically, first of all, we do an introduction. We want to make you feel comfortable. You can observe it. You know, if you don't want to participate, you're welcome. We have seats available. And then when you do participate, we call it checking in. We let you know who's there. We become a family. We have a family environment. It's non-judgmental. We want everybody to be relaxed and comfortable because we all working for the same goals or similar goals. We do different things. Our format is fluctuates a little bit. But basically, you're going to get doing that hour class. My class is limited to hour. Maya keeps an hour and a half because she gives so much in terms of benefits of health. But we do some warm-ups, light warm-ups. And we respect people's limitations, disabilities. And we talk about some of those health principles. We use a book. I have a book that we recommend all our students get. It's called Help Yourself to Ultimate Health by Dr. Adel Jalil Nuruddin, which has 109 chapters in it on health, and they only like two pages. So we ask each student to read whatever, like the first chapter dealing with water, and read the previous chapter we're going to deal with the next week or next class prior to coming, and then we discuss that. We take out 10 minutes to discuss that. So we're using this book as well as other sources to address health in general, because health is, like you say, wealth. And I think it's a stack of most important pillar, and you know it just falls right in line with what we're going through. We to make build people's confidence. We have long forms, version forms is long and sometimes can be very challenging for some people. So what I do, what I teach my students, instead of going into one of these long forms like Form 24, which is the most popular form in the world. I got with some teachers and we developed a form called Embrace the Moon. And you get that balance, you get a lot of health benefits from it. We break it down and tell you what you get in your breathing, your coordination, your sight, your vision. You're going to use every organ in your body and perform this. But then also, this is a form you can learn easily in a month and it builds your confidence. And once your confidence is built, you know, you start falling in love with whatever it is you're practicing. So, you know, and that's kind of the approach.
Say that again. What was the last of that?
No, I was finished.
Okay, so we thank you for joining us tonight. Can you give us some information on how people can connect with you, how they can support your business, And then we're going to wrap it up and go on to Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. We're going to ask you to also close us out with a dua as our special guest, and we thank you for joining us tonight. So first start with how can we contact you, and what the best way to support your business be, inshallah?
Well, I can be reached through personally through my cell phone, which I don't mind giving to your audience. It's 704-584-8043. And you know how you can support us, me, with come to class. Take care of yourself. Love yourself. You know, taking care of yourself is a form of love. Because if you really love yourself, you're going to take care of yourself. And the proof is in the pudding, you know. So we encourage everybody to take care of themselves and love, you know, really, truly love yourself.
Awesome. That was a great closing statement. Can you close us out with a dua, please?
Okay. Subhana wa bihamdika. La ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa tubu ilayk. Qala rabbi ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ughfir li lisani yafqahu qawli. And that is to say, the first part was asking Allah to forgive me for any mistakes I've shared in this my comments to you all concerning Tai Chi. And the second one is I was asking Allah to clear the impediments in my speech so you understand what I say and get to take the best of what I was trying to say. I mean.
Thank you. May Allah reward you and bless you with many success in your endeavors. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're welcome. Stay tuned, audience. Stay tuned for Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay.
They teach us the truth about what al-Islam was really all about, and that we could come away from gyrating ourselves out of the triple wombs of darkness, pretending to be black gods, and realize that we are human beings created by one Lord God. So, dear brothers and sisters, I conclude with my comments. I'd like to introduce Imam Qasim Ahmed, the Imam here in Houston, Texas. Wonderful job, friend of Imam W.D. Muhammad. All of us in this area, the region, know him, and he will introduce to us the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I present to you now Imam Qasim Ahmed.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Praise be to Allah, the cherisher, sustainer, guardian, evolver of all worlds. Brothers and sisters, we're so grateful to Allah that you are present here today and that so many of you have came and supported this effort here in the Houston area. And the imams who have come from the surrounding areas, the regional imam, Imam Farah Khan and Imam Fahmi from Louisiana and other believers who have traveled in this weather. And I'm thankful to Allah that our leader, Imam Waraf D. Muhammad, we have been at the airport waiting on him. And the weather was bad. And I'm sure Imam Yahya has told you that. And people were getting off the plane and say it's rocking up there. And so my concern began now, knowing that Allah is all God, is the God and all knowing. I said, well, if the Imam doesn't make it, you know, we'll know that Allah is the best knower. But, alhamdulillah, I found out that the imam had drove in. And I said, this is beautiful. A man who's committed not only to the race or the nationality that Allah has brought him out of, but committed to the whole of humanity. And this man that I'm sure Imam Yahya has very graphically given to you his works, his achievements, the excellence that he has contributed to the American society is now here to address us. I don't need to say any much more. I thank Allah for his presence. I thank you for your presence. So let's welcome Imam Warafuddin Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum. And his peace be on you. We witness that God is one and one alone, needs nothing to aid him, but he aids everything and gives support to everything. He is the creator of everything. And we witness that he chose Muhammad out of his creation to be the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets prophesied in the Old and New Testament. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. We also witness that the Muslims are a community that God says has been created or evolved or raised up for the good of all people. So we have to keep that idea or that message to us from God before us if we are to keep ourselves in the right position and have the right attitude toward our own interests and toward the welfare of the whole humanity on this earth. I am here finally. We came to the city and got lost downtown. Flooded street held us back, flooded roadway held us back for some time. And then we got in the city and didn't know how to find Kirby, K-I-R-B-Y. Couldn't find that road. And we were asking the people around here in the loop here, in the downtown area, pardon me. It is a loop, like our loop in Chicago. Round and around we go. We were asking them, where's the Astrodome? We figured somebody should know where the Astrodome was if they didn't know where the Sheridan was. So we asked them, where was the Astrodome? And got no results hardly at all. But finally, Rafa, he stopped at a service station and he asked a man and a young lady, and finally the young lady gave us direction that brought us here. So we thank Allah that we're finally here. And I thank Allah that I'm not on that plane that I would be on if I had gotten taken the plane from Little Rock. Because they tell me that plane had to go leave the area, couldn't land. It had to go back to Houston, had to go to Austin. Austin, they said. Had to go to Austin, Texas. I wouldn't want to be in Austin, Texas right now. So we thank Allah for that and for everything. Where Muslims are, where we should be. First, I would like to kind of think on our situation before we became Muslims, or after we got acquainted with Islam in America. We belong to a community of people, black people, African American people, that came up from slavery and came from the south, my father and mother did, to the north, looking for better situations, for better conditions. Some of us were most dissatisfied with our life in America, even though freedom had come to us, or freedom from chattel slavery, as they call it, from the plantation slavery. And we still felt that we were held back, we still felt enslaved. And many of these were not only those that became Muslims under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, but also many of those who were Christians, they also felt the same way. And as a result, we have political movements in our history, and we also have spiritual movements in our history, our religious movements in our history,
that were trying to bring us to a better situation, away from the feeling of being alone and oppressed in this country without justice in this country. So those movements tried to lead us to a better situation for our own souls and minds. My beginning has to go back to that situation, because I wouldn't be here as a leader if it wasn't for my father becoming one of those leaders that was trying to lead us to a better situation so we wouldn't feel alone and oppressed in this country. I don't believe there was a time in our history that we didn't think of ourselves or feel that we were members of a group. This group we call blacks, or African Americans. We've always felt that we were members of a group. So we were, unlike many people that couldn't find their way, couldn't establish themselves because they had to first be aware that they were a group, that they belonged together. Slavery put us all together. I don't know if we were all together in Africa before we were brought here. I don't think we were. I think we were divided. But they brought all those slaves, whether they came from one, from the Hausa or from the Bantu or from the Niger River or from the Egypt, the banks of the Rotten Nile in Egypt, wherever they were from, they were all brought to America to the plantations and sold and sold into slavery. And those people who were separated in Africa found themselves with each other or together in slavery. And ever since then, we have been a group. We have been a group, thinking of ourselves as belonging to each other, belonging to each other. So one thing that terrible history did for us was at least put us together in misery, but at least together. And we, as people of the book, of the scripture, we couldn't find help from ourselves or from the outside, so we turned to God, even in the time of our captivity on the plantations of the South. Even during that time, history says that we were people who turned to God. We had no help, we thought, except God. And it was that belief that God was different from the people who were oppressing us in his attitude toward us, that God didn't see us the way they saw us, that God saw us as his creation or as his human creation, and that God did not want the injustice or the bad treatment that we were receiving. So that faith in God brought us eventually into the church. Many of our people came into the church because they had no other choice. This country at that time didn't offer us any choice. There was no choice. There was no presence of Islam. There was no presence of Judaism. There was no presence of Hindu or Buddhism. So we had no choice except the church. And most of us, we became devout followers of the church religion, or the church. And we stayed together. And the Spirit of God, our desire to have God rescue us and belief that God would rescue us, and stay with us. And finally, we got better situation because of acceptance, a little bit of acceptance into the church first and then into the society gradually. Because of that, we finally got enough freedom to start speaking out more. Many of us lost our lives for speaking out during slavery, during captivity and after. But we began to speak out more and more, and along comes the religion, Islam, in name to us, through a man called the Savior, called also Allah in the person by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the followers of that time. He was called the Savior. He was called Allah in the person. But the documents also show us, or tell us, that he was called Professor and also Prophet. Prophet and professor. So he had many names, many different names were given to him. And the leader that he chose my father to be the leader after him. He made my father the supreme minister, and when he left, my father was the leading minister and he became the leader of that following, that this man from outside of the United States, he wasn't from the United States, this man from outside of the United States had attracted many followers to his highly mystified and, I would say, very difficult to understand teachings. Although some of it was very practical and very simple, and I think that's what got us to stay with it. Some of it was very practical and very easy to understand, such as love your brother and be just by your brother, and be honest, be decent, and be hardworking. All of those teachings were very practical. We understood them. Don't have bad morals, and don't go unclean. Dress neat, go clean. All of those teachings were very fine. They attracted us, and we believed in that teacher, so we tried hard to be well-dressed and clean. We tried hard to have good morals. We tried hard not to commit adultery or fornication. We tried hard to be true to our wives and to our husbands. We were punished if we were caught being unfaithful to them. We were excommunicated, that is, put out of the temple or out of the religious group, put away from the religious group for doing those things. We were not drinking liquors and using narcotics. If we found guilty of any of those things, we were excommunicated, put out of the community. We weren't lying to each other, because if we were found to be liars, we were punished again, because we were told to say, my word is bond, and bond is life, and I'll give my life before my word should fail. And we were told all those things. So the practical things were very simple and very easy to follow, and they were very good for us. Those things were very good for us. Those teachings, moral teachings, were very good for us. Teachings of cleanliness, good thinking, clean thinking, and good clean behavior. That was very good for us, and it made us very special people that received credit from the society that was really condemning us. We lived to see the newspapers and also the police department acknowledge that the followers of Elijah Muhammad were law-abiding, clean, and disciplined. Clean and disciplined, having good morals. So here we are, coming from the time of slavery and the time of freedom from physical bondage to be citizens of the United States, but many of us, not all of us, many of us still feeling that we were not given the justice and that we didn't have a situation that we could live with and be happy with. The followers of leaders like Marcus Garvey and another one, Father Divine in Detroit, those followers felt very much like us, and they felt that they had their saviors. The followers of Marcus Garvey felt they had a savior in Garvey, and the followers of Father Divine of Detroit, Michigan, felt that they had a savior in Father Divine, and there was even a few others. The Nobadu Ali people, the people who followed the Honorable Nobadu Ali, they thought that they had a savior in Nobadu Ali. And the members of the nation, or the followers of the Nation of Islam, we felt that we had a savior in W.D. Farad, or W. Farad Muhammad, the teacher who came from abroad and taught my father, Elijah Muhammad, what he taught for about 50 years or so. Yes. Well, not quite 50 years, a little under 50 years. we read of what God says about people that lost his favor. He took his favor off of them. We read about them, and God says that some of them achieved great wonders, or great accomplishments on this earth, that they had to their credit cities, great cities, huge towering buildings, etc. And some of them, they were just war makers, and they went on destroying life oppressing the weak and the innocent, spreading corruption over the earth. And some just indulged in play, folly, foolishness, ignored God, and they all came to an end. And God says that you can't even find hardly any trace of some of those great communities that had such great achievements to their credit, that the destruction came to them, buried their cities beneath the earth, some of them by earthquakes, and some were destroyed by fire, others by strong winds. All of this is given in the Quran and also in the Bible, how they were destroyed. Some drowned it. Some just drowned, flood drowned them and wiped them out forever. They're gone. They're gone. So the sign that a favor is taken off of the people is that they lose what they used to find pleasure and comfort in. They lose what they used to find pleasure and comfort in, or what they were finding pleasure and comfort in. They lose it. Here we are in America today, and our situation is much better than it ever has been, I do believe. What I mean is that we're in a better situation to do something ourselves about our own condition than we ever were. We've never been in a better situation to do something about our own condition. When we were on the plantation as slaves, there was hardly no opportunity for us to do something for ourselves independent of other people, of the white oppressors. No. And even after, long after that, and I would say in 1940s, 50s, 60s, in much of the 60s, we didn't have that situation. But in the late 60s and now, the law has changed all over the United States. And we are in a situation to do something about our own condition. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's message of do for self is more on time now than it ever was, because there was too much fear of what would be the consequences if we took on too much responsibility for our own selves in the time of slavery, in the time up to the 60s. But in the 90s now, after the 70s are gone, the 80s are gone, in the 90s, the situation is better than it ever has been for African Americans, especially those that don't feel that they are situated well in this country, that you feel that you are not in a situation like the whites, or they are favored and you are not. If you feel that your situation is bad and theirs is good, I say to you, whether you're Christian, Muslim, or whatever you are, I say to you, your time is here. The time is here for you. If you don't like the world the way it is, make it the way you want it to be. Not for those who don't want it, but for those who want it, like you. For those who want change of life, like you want a change of life, get up. Don't be lazy. Don't be fearful. Have the courage to tackle the job. Accept the responsibility and work hard to bring about the conditions that you want in life. But first of all, have some idea of what conditions you want in life. Don't just go battling or hitting the dark, fighting the dark. Know what you have in mind as a life that you want in America, on this earth. I believe that God has situated us in a very wonderful way. I believe that we are a blessed people who have survived the triple veils of darkness in this oppressive world. I believe that we are in a good situation. We survived slavery. We survived so-called freedom. And we have survived religious darkness. We have been put in the darkest of the religious darkness. I don't believe there's any religious darkness darker than the one that we were put in. And we have survived even that religious darkness, and we have come to accept the Quran as our leader. The Quran as our leader. The Quran, the God of the Quran, is our God, Allah, who's God of everything. And the messenger or the prophet of the Quran is our human leader, Muhammad the prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace, the seal of the prophets. And the scripture, the Quran itself, is the light that we live by, along with the teachings and example, the practical example that Muhammad left behind us as a demonstration of how we should follow the Quran, the word of God. So we have these lights, and we're living in this light, and we're trying hard to live by that light. I believe we're in a great situation, great, great, great situation. Our situation is excellent. Our situation is great. Our situation is powerful. Yes, it is. Wonderful situation. Because we are not guessing anymore. We are not oppressed anymore. We are not oppressed by the white man, and we are not oppressed by darkness. We are not oppressed by ignorance anymore. We truly feel free today. Free of the yokes of the past and free of the wrong ideas in religion. We have gotten ourselves free of all of that. We have left all of the wrong ideas in religion. We have followed religion with a sober mind and with clear eyes now. So we are in a great situation. And I want to bring your mind back, bring our minds back to people that God's favor is taking away from or taking off of. Mm-hmm. Now, if a sign that a people have lost God's favor is a sign that they lost their achievements, then we lost, especially I'm talking to the Afrocentric people now,
yeah.
If we lost Timbuktu, if we lost Mali and Shanghai, if we lost Ghana and gold and all of its gold, if we lost all the sciences of ancient Egypt, then we are a people that lost our great achievements. And if we are people that lost those great achievements, then it may be that we are a people that were punished by God, that lost God's favor. And we know in Africa, before we were brought here, we were fighting each other. We were oppressing each other. Some of us weren't, but too many of us were. We were believing in witchcraft. We were idol worshippers, many of us. We were worshiping our ancestors, many of us. So if by the light of what God has revealed in the books of the great religions, we were people who were away from the guidance and therefore away from the favors of God. So why don't we look at it and reason with it from this kind of position. From this position. Reason with it. And say perhaps we were not a blessed people. Perhaps we were not an innocent people. Perhaps we were a people who had turned our head or turned our eyes away from the favors of God and lost the favors of God. Christianity was on Africa. Judaism before Christianity was on Africa. In Africa, Islam, or Al-Islam properly as it's called in the Quran, Al-Islam was in Africa, and there was great strides made by the communities of Africa, or the people of Africa who accepted Islam. They made great strides. They accomplished much. They had powerful governments. Their governments were some of the leading governments of that time. And they lost it. When we look at the state of Islam in Africa today, we find that they are not respecting, most of the African Muslims are not respecting their religion. The conditions that we find their people in and them and their subjects in tells us that. The problems that they're having with them, with their own citizens and with other neighboring Muslim countries tells us that they are not respecting what Allah revealed.
Right.
So why don't we stop seeing ourselves as all innocent?
Right.
The black people of the world. Why don't we stop seeing ourselves as innocent? And why don't we look at our condition in the light of what God has said about people who suffer losses? Who suffer bad conditions, who suffer setbacks, who lose their glory, their glorious achievements,
Why don't we look at ourselves in the light of what God has said and see have we been faithful to God? We have not. We have not been faithful to God. God has not punished anybody innocent. Now here we are in America, and the law has changed. There's no more plantation life in the South unless you volunteer to be in it. But what the world has changed. We are free to do anything we want almost. We are frightening the white man with what we do. We got him afraid to live in certain neighborhoods.
So alhamdulillah wa bi'alameen, we have a few more minutes. We're going to go all the way to 9 o'clock. We hope that you gained something from that excerpt of Imam W.B. Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay. And so we're going to move forward with the next one, inshallah.
While Imam is coming to the mic, I'd like to just do my little brief introduction, if I may. This human world that we are living in is becoming more clear and refreshing as each day comes and goes. No thirst comes without a quencher. More important, the man who truly understands the life and works of Prophet Muhammad the last. And that's no other than Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir!
Thank you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. To our audience here and also to the listeners in the radio audience. We wish you peace and we wish you a good day. Always, we pray God's help be with us, His mercy, and we pray that He guides us always. Ameen. Amen, as the English language goes. We always begin recognizing God and trusting that God will be with us. And we acknowledge that Muhammad of the scripture, the Quran, the last of the revealed books, is the last of the prophets. And we pray peace and the prayers be upon him again. Ameen or amen. I have to get me, I just rushed from another meeting coming here and I didn't even get my glasses out. I have to have these glasses, so I'm taking a moment here to get my glasses on. The weather turned a little cooler here, but still is much better than it used to be in this Chicago area. Years ago, it was much colder. We didn't expect it to be any except cold. But now you can hardly tell Chicago from some of the southern states and cities I visit. I go there sometime and the weather is about the same as ours. And on a few occasions I have traveled to the south and their weather was not as good as ours, not as pleasant as ours. So that warming up is something else. It's a danger, but I sure like it. Because I live in Chicago. Chicago area. Chicago is my hometown. And I've heard the saying say, if you don't like Chicago, say stick around. I've moved to several cities, at least four cities, over the duration of my time of leadership with you all. And there's only one city that I would like to move to of those four cities. Chicago, I guess it's because of history too, you know. We have a history here that started in 1934. Goes always back to that time. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he did a lot of great works here that many of his critics don't know about, you know. They just saw him as a different man condemning the world, especially the white world, but they didn't see the full picture of Elijah Muhammad, of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, my father. But Chicago, someone in Chicago did, because they acknowledged his influence in Sun Times and also in Channel 11 magazine, Chicago's title, Chicago. And they acknowledged him as one of 100 persons who most influenced the history of Chicago. And they weren't acknowledging him in a negative sense, they were acknowledging him in a positive sense. And when I first met the father of our mayor in Chicago now, Richard J. Daley, when I first met him, I just paid a courtesy call on him as a leader. I felt obligated to go to his office and pay a courtesy call. So I did. And the first thing he told me before I could really say much to him was, said, "We knew your father." And my doors were open to him. I guess he said that to say, relax, you know. And it really relaxed me. Yes. You know, we live in the world, but we have little chance of really benefiting from the world in our time as people of old did, and as many primitive people still do. They can't have the great life of comforts and knowledge and education and progress of science and technology that we have, but they at least can have peace in their little huts, in their little places they live in. I'm talking about backwoods people, primitive people. They can have a healthy relationship with family members. They can have more peace than most of us have. Yes. And they can have more love for one another than most of us city people have. So the environment has changed so much because of progress for science and industry. It has changed so much, and it has kind of blocked the nature, human nature, from the kind of support that human nature gets from creation in its natural form and natural design that God made. So, we are suffering many problems. And we might be losing faith in God, some of us, losing faith in religion. And this factor is one of the factors that I think has a lot to do with common people, ordinary people, losing faith in God and losing faith in their religious places or in their religious leadership. It is because we do not have that direct interchange for our emotions and for our hearts and for our intelligence, for our brains, that man did have and still have in some primitive quarters of the world. And God made the world to favor human life, not to curse it. He made the world to favor human life. The story of the paradise, Eden, paradise, Jannah, we say in the Quranic Arabic language, Jannah, the story of that beginning of human life in a garden of paradise, is when you study it and look at it very, you know, you have to rethink or bethink. when you look, think into it, you come to understand, most likely as a scholar, you should come to understand, that that's more a picture of God's wish for mankind than it is a picture of what was. It's a picture of God's wish for mankind. And it serves us better when we understand the Garden of Paradise or Eden as God's wish for mankind than it does when we think of it as a beginning for a primitive man. No, it's God's wish for mankind. Now, when we understand scripture, classical scripture, Bible, Quran, and we may include some other scriptures too. When we understand scripture, we understand that scripture sees the world differently. Not with the eyes of the secular world and not with our eyes. It sees the world differently. It sees the world as the voice of God himself. What God made is his voice speaking. The universe speaks. The material system of matter speaks. And God says, regarding this, he said, most of the people, they go along unaware, heedless of these signs. Heedless of these signs. And you know, I've watched birds. I read, too, as a student in high school. I read about migratory birds, how they migrate, and how they respond to the sun. The sun rises, as Scripture says. It rises from east and sets in the west. But it also rises over a period of a year. It rises from two points in the east, or two positions in the east. And it sets from two points or on two positions in the west. And the birds, migratory animals more than just birds, but the birds is very, very easy to notice them. We very readily notice them if we start to observe the birds and have a curiosity and know their life and what's affecting their life. You'll find birds when the weather gets cold and too hot for them, they take flight and they fly south where the weather is warmer, from the north. Where they go from the north where the weather is warmer in the south. And they also come back when the weather warms up in the north. They will come back from the south. The south is hot and nice, but what were they doing when we were cold in Chicago? They were living better in Eden a little bit in the south. But now we're warming up. They say, hey, a lot of food have collected and piled up in Chicago. So it's warm there now. Let's go to Chicago and eat. Well, they know how to follow. And the sun, I'm sure, is a guide for them. The sun in the sky is a guide for them. Because actually, if you observe it as I have, when it's getting near time for cold weather, the sun seems to be more in the south than in the north. And when it's warmed up in the north, the sun is more in the north than in the south. So really, I think these birds, they have an inner sense that tells them that. I don't think they look and say, hey, Joe, let's fly. The sun is in the south now. It's time for us to go down south. I don't think that. I think their system registers these changes, and they know when to move and where to move. So it seems that God is so. Now, you hear me saying that. Do you feel God's love? I do. Yes, that's God's love that regulated that. Right. Like that. That's his love. And then we have this free will, so we act on our own and plan without referring to higher powers or reading the signs. But we don't do that. So we plan and we get in trouble. Soon we are in real deep trouble. Serious, very serious trouble. and we are crying. And we are crying out. But if we would guard against extremes, because whether your scripture is Christian or Muslim, both these scriptures tell us to guard against extremes. Don't go out for too much, lavish too much wealth on yourself. Don't go for diamonds and gold to show off and fur coats and leather coats to show off like that. That's an extreme. And very few people can manage, very few in the public can manage that extreme. I saw a movie, a gunfighter movie. It was a Western movie about the lawless times in the West, in these United States. And this gunfighter, he wore guns, his pistols, two of them, and he was so good at getting to them faster than his opponent. He was well known as a fast shooter, could get to his guns and shoot very fast. And the movie went on to show him, focused on him for the whole movie. And at the end of the movie, it was very clear what the message was. He was not wearing the guns were wearing him. His importance was all in his guns. His worth as a person was all in his guns. So the guns were wearing him. And the same thing happened to us who go to extremes in other ways, lavishing ourselves with this wealth or upon ourselves personally. Now, don't think that this is a speech or talk I'm giving against money or against earning money and against being wealthy. No, not at all. I would not turn down a chance to make billions of dollars, trillions of dollars. I would not turn it down. Because that would only situate me better to help the needs that I see in the world that needs help. So I never cut my chance to make more money. No. I want to make more and more and more and more. Because I want to help the earth, not just W.D. Muhammad. Now, there are many people like that. Bill Gates and his wife. Bill Cosby and his wife. So many of them like that. They make plenty of money, but they help suffering humanity. They help people who need help. They help them. And if we are going to do that, then what's wrong with living in a capitalist society? If you're a socialist, a religious socialist like Imam W.D. Muhammad. There's nothing wrong with it. Make money and put it to good use. That's the purpose. And not only that, we who want to become very well educated, and we have been blessed with a talent to do that. God has blessed us with circumstances and a talent to do that. We also should realize that knowledge is a precious commodity, very precious commodity. And when we give of our knowledge, we should give of it the same way we give of our money. Don't hoard knowledge, don't hoard money. But get a lot of both if you can. Yeah, so the garden, you know, it was a garden that had everything in it, okayed by God, except the forbidden tree. Except the forbidden tree. Mentioned both in the Quran, also in the Quran, because after all, when you understand, the Quran is like a tafsir. A tafsir. On the Bible. Yeah. At least on those parts of the Bible that were issues for the past, issues for the present in the time of Muhammad, and Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, he must have understood them to be issues for the future, going far into the future, until mankind able to see the light and respond to the light as God intends for man to respond to the light. I'm talking about divine light, guidance from God. Yes, so the garden had this tree in it. And, you know, if you would think now, it's not hidden, you just have to think. It says a tree of knowledge. and a knowledge of good and evil. But it's a tree that God forbids. So it's a knowledge context that establishes or pretends to establish what's good and what's evil for human beings. What we should want and what we should not want, huh? Well, if I told you that tree was the world that we're living in right now, would you believe it?
Yes.
The world that we're living in right now, it wants to tell us what's good and what's bad for us. And it gets most of us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It wants to tell us what is bad and what is good. What is good? What is evil and harmful? And what is good or helpful? It wants to tell us that. And some of them, the leaders in this world, you may say secular world. I don't say secular world because that's, for want of a better name, that's what they say the secular world. But there are many established communities established in the secular world, and they are doing business as members in the secular world, but they are not of that mindset. They have their love and their devotion is for God and humanity, kindness to their fellow man. So they are not of that world, but they are in that. So that's why I hesitate to say secular world. I say the world. Because they are the biggest. They are the biggest outside the home, huh?
Yes.
Yeah? Outside your home, they are the biggest. So I say the world. Then we have in the home the private world. Mm-hmm. And we have the religious workers working hard against the influences of the world.
Right.
To save families and life for the plan that God gave Adam when he gave him the plan of the garden. Yes. So we underestimate religion. We underestimate scripture. We underestimate religion. We take it to be no more than what we see. And our minds can't see everything all the time, you know?
Right.
We can't see everything. Never reduce God or scripture down to your focus. You can't put God and scripture in your focus unless you get guidance from God. Huh? Then you can put it in your focus. But your mind by itself on its own is too small, and the possibilities for your vision or your seeing is too small without the help of God for you to look at religion and condemn religion. Or look at scripture and condemn scripture. Or look at God and say, I don't think I want to believe in God anymore. You're going on your own. If you knew the God that the prophets knew, if you knew the God that the saints knew, if you knew the God that the seers, those who look into, not just at, knew, you wouldn't be in the fix you are right now. And you would reject the big world and its invitation to go on your own. Because isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? He got an invitation to go on your own. Stop letting what you think God said hold you down. Go on your own. So the secular world, that's his voice, that's his message. Don't let your parents hold you back. Don't let your parents keep you down. Don't let your parents control your behavior. Don't let religion, don't let even God control you. Be on your own. I'm not trying to really criticize the world. I'm trying to get you and the audience stronger in faith. That's all. My intent is only to get you to be stronger in your faith. Don't be weak in your faith. Be strong in your faith. Because God is not responsible. The scripture is not responsible. No. Your religion is not responsible for the state that the world is in. It is those who care more about money, care more about the power that money gives them. They care more about that than they care about human life, than they care about families. So they'll break up families. They'll ruin human life. And you know what they say? They got a devilish mind, some of them.
Yeah.
They say, well, if there's really a God, he can straighten it all out.
Yeah.
It ain't my responsibility to make it nice. If there's really a God, why don't he show up and intervene? Well, he does, over and over again. And such mindsets or mentalities, they are overturned. They are put down. They lose their place in the seat of power. Yes, it happens over and over again. But they never give up. So we should have faith. We must have faith.
Right.
Have faith and have strong faith.
Right.
And don't look at the world that is hurting human life, moral life, spiritual devotion.
Right.
Don't look at the world that's hurting that essential life,
mm-hmm.
that first life,
right.
that Garden of Eden life. Without looking at the direction that you get from your good parents at home and the direction that you get from your religion.
Right.
You know, even if a bad person is preaching, whether it's on Sunday or Friday, he can't help but quote from Scripture, right? I guess that's why a lot of these bad preachers, they keep an audience. Because there's enough coming from Scripture to at least let the hearts and souls that he is preaching over feel God. You know? They will feel God in their hearts and in their souls. They will feel God. So they keep coming back to feel God. And I'm sure that a lot of them think he's coming back to him. No, you ain't nothing but a show. Just like going to a good, simple show,
right.
shallow script,
yeah.
and a simple show, and they'll come back to you because whether they know it consciously or not, they are hearing something from the Bible or something from the Quran
mm-hmm.
of God's Word.
Right.
And they go there to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told those who support me in my leadership, I told them, you don't have to be a Muslim in these small confines. If the mosque is not making you feel healthy, then you should leave it. Yes? I don't go out there and tell somebody I said leave the church. I said the mosque. I represent the mosque. If the mosque is not making you feel happy, please leave it. If it's not making you feel good, please leave it. You'll be better off without it. But don't leave it before trying to bring about change. And how are we to bring about change when we are not liking what we are experiencing or what we are looking at or what we are supporting with our charities or whatever? How are we to change it? We have instructions in the religion that says, change it with your hands,
right.
if you can do that.
Right.
If you can find the wherewithal, change it with your hands.
Right.
Now, what your hands mean? It means with action.
Right.
It doesn't mean go up there and grab the preacher and pull him down from the podium and throw him out the door like an Indian told me they did a preacher once. Yeah, I was in prison, Sandstone, Minnesota, serving time for refusing to asked a selective service order to go to a certain hospital. I had no objection, but I couldn't get my father to say that he approved of it, so I didn't do it. I wouldn't go, so I went to jail. And you ever went to jail for an honor like Muhammad? I did. Yeah, and don't regret it. I don't regret it. But it wasn't my decision. I went on his decision, not mine. Okay? So anyway, I was up there in Sandstone, Minnesota, and Indians were in that federal prison for little petty things. So this Indian's name was Left Hand, and he got to be kind of friends. We talked a lot together. So he said, Elijah Muhammad, your father, he's different. I said, yes, he is. He said, you know what? I'm going to tell you a little story. He said there was a priest. He said he would always start off his sermon telling us about heaven. Then he had a picture of angels, big picture of angels going up into heaven. He said, so one of the bucks asked him, says, how come no Indians are going up into heaven? And he had difficulty asking the question, and they were impatient. So he said they immediately grabbed him and threw him out on the dirt, on the dirt. So that tell you that was a kind of poor area. Not many people populating that area. He said they threw him out on the dirt. Here, he would get hurt, they'd throw him out on some concrete. Yes, but I thought that funny. But what the point of me saying that is that you can't judge people, say, oh, he's not educated, so we don't need to explain difficult matters to them. Just give them something to make them happy. That seems to be the position in religion for many churches and many mosques, many imams. Yes. Oh, they can't handle difficult matters, so just give them something to keep them happy. And they have gotten out of touch with their own following. Their following is more advanced when it comes to intelligent feelings. Feelings for what is sense and what is not nonsense. They have become more intelligent than their leaders. And they're wondering how come their youngsters are leaving them. How come their children are leaving them. It's because you're not making sense. And you underestimated the intelligence of our public. In the United States, we have a much more literate public than you will find in most places of the world. And we have to upgrade our message. Yes, we have to upgrade our message and speak more sense to the congregation and stop depending so heavily on emotionalism. That time is here. And you'll see signs not only from me, but you'll see signs are in me, but you'll see signs in the world leadership for world religions. You see signs in the world leadership now that a change must come about. There must be a change. Yes, so the tree of death is this world culture that it has for the public, that the late Pope John Paul II called the culture of death. That's exactly the way he referred to it, the culture of death. He gave it other names, but it's death. It's death. So going back to original nature, or to the beginning of human life, how we began in innocence, like a baby. This is what Scripture shows us. The Bible says that God made Adam from clay, didn't it? And the Quran says, and he, meaning God, began the creation of man from clay. That's what Quran says, from clay. Now, you know, I think more than 60 or 70% of our public are ready for us to tell them what clay means. So why should we keep our public ignorant when most of our public is not feeling comfortable with the idea that man was made from clay?
Yes, sir.
So you, scriptures say also that the likeness of the creation and growth and life of human beings is that of plants,
yes,
like trees and other plant life. Now you know, if you have nothing but clay, tell me what kind of crop you're going to grow out of clay.
Yes, come on. Right.
So when these questions start to come in the minds of our people, we're in trouble if we continue to use the same old language with no teaching. Both the Bible and the Quran stresses teaching over preaching.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Teaching is more important than preaching. It's no new term to identify human life. Long before religion had the term, it was in the world among people. In Arabic language, which is one of the most ancient of languages we still have in use, Arabic. In Arabic language, when they want to say clay, they say teen, but they also say tough.
Mm-hmm.
When they want to say baby, they say tiflin, or the same, tiflin. Very closely related. Tiflin, tough. Same letters. The letter T in Arabic, the letter F in Arabic, and the letter L in Arabic. So what does that tell you? That baby and clay have the same meaning. Now, if in their language, baby and clay has the same meaning, essentially the same meaning. So what is clay about a baby? A baby is impressionable. A baby, if you show it love, it's impressed upon the mind and soul of that baby.
Right.
That baby will take that imprint of love and begin to act out love, huh?
That's right.
Begin to want to love.
Right.
Begin to want to express love. And also, the baby is ready for you to mold it in any shape you want.
That's right.
If God doesn't protect the baby, you can mold the baby into an inhuman shape or form.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes. So the baby is like clay also in that it is manageable.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, right.
It responds to pressure and to touch.
Right.
Fresh clay, you just touch it and there's an imprint. Hmm?
Yes,
yes. Like a baby. So instead of us stopping just with God made man from clay, or began the creation of human beings from clay, we should think.
Yes. Come on.
And that's what religion wants us to do too.
That's right.
Think.
That's right.
Yes. But some of our preachers and our imams, they don't want you to think.
That's it. Come on.
And I love them. And I think they really are acting from a feeling or sense of insecurity. They're afraid if you know too much, they'll be put out of a job. Well, I wouldn't want a job if I had to stoop down like that to keep it. No, I wouldn't want it. I'd rather be a welder again. I used to be a welder. I love welding. Yeah. And heating up metal, making metal run like soup, and shaping it into form. Oh, it was very interesting. I loved my work. And finishing your work and seeing that you made hard steel run like water,
yeah,
and then made it look pretty.
Yeah.
Yes, I loved my work. Now I'm working with people. And I can't look at a blueprint and start getting the pieces for the job, you know, and putting my, well, and now I'm getting ready to put heat on them, heat on these metals. So I need some grippers. I know the name very well. Vice grippers. Hey, somebody know a little something about that carpentry, that metal and work. Yeah, vice grips. I look for the vice grips, you know. Line it up, get it all lined up with the jig, get it all fastened in, and vice grips holding it, whatever else I need as a tool to hold it, got it in place. So when I put the hot fire to it, it's not going to move out of shape.
That's right.
But when we have the hot fire of invitation to lust for sex and other things, where the jig? I don't have a jig. I said, God, where? I don't have a jig. These people are burning hot. And the world is welding them and forming them. And for this job you gave me, I don't have a jig. I don't have vice grips. Because God doesn't want you to be held by vice grips. He gave you free will. You know, there are many people who wonder, how come I don't have God manifest in my life? How come I don't hear God? How come he doesn't reach me? Many of us say things like that, you know, when we are feeling sorry for ourselves. Yeah. We start to blame God. Well, you know, there are some people, I don't care how poor they are, I don't care how uneducated they are, some people just won't abandon moral sense. They keep their moral sense, and they do what they know is morally proper or decent and intelligent, though they have not finished high school, though they have not finished grade school. And they won't steal, and they won't present them in a vulgar, indecent way in the public or any place. It's because they will not give up what they value more than money, what they value more than popularity, than being popular with the crowd. And that's their decent moral principles. Yes. So see, God, in making us, he knew that some of us would be weak, but he knew that some of us, a few of us, would be strong. And we survived every attempt of this world to destroy our original nature that God made for us. Yes? And we survive. And we will survive. And really, when I'm speaking to you, whether to a small audience of three or four persons, or to a big audience like we got now into the thousands, my interest is to strengthen your faith, as I mentioned before.
Yes,
not to convert you from your religion.
Right.
Not to make a Muslim out of a Christian. No, because I've seen some Muslims who have been made Muslims and they were Christians before. And I wish nobody had bothered them because they were much better before than they are after. Some of them, not all. Yes. So I don't like to disturb people. No, God didn't come to tell us the way of the Christians has to be finished, done away with. No. Rather, he told us through Muhammad the prophet's words that when all of this is finished and we see the heavens or go to the heavens, say there's going to be big number of Christians, Jews, there are going to be Jews and a big number of Christians. And he said in his followers, but he gave us a little air. He said, and his followers are going to be the biggest number. The biggest number would be his followers.
Right.
And they're saying now that Islam is the fastest growing religion.
Yeah.
but also concerned Muslim scholars and teachers and just good people with good sense who are looking at what's happening. They say we should not be looking at big numbers. We should be looking at the quality of Muslims. And really, that's a good note to say amen on. And for many, amen means shut up. Close out and go home. Let us go home. You know, I was in a church once. Yeah, I went to churches. I've been a Muslim by name, all of my life. As you all know, those who know me, they know that I was born in 1933 in Detroit, Michigan, about a year or so after my mother and my father had accepted to be Muslims. Yes. So anyway, I was at a church once. I went to church to, if I'm going to preach, my father said I was going to help him in the leadership. That is, his teacher said I would help him in the leadership. So I said to myself once, I said, well, I should go and see what Christians believe and experience what they experience. So I will know when I speak to them. I said, I think it would be a little ignorant on my part to speak to an audience of people who were raised as Christians and not know what they believe. What makes up a Christian? What makes a person a Christian? So I went to churches. I went to Presbyterian church. I went to Catholic church. I went to Holiness church. I went to Baptist church. I went to a lot of churches. So anyway, one time I was in the church, and this preacher, he was preaching, but to tell you the truth, I wasn't as comfortable with him as I was with some of the other church sessions I had been in. Because I'm telling you, some of them got some music now. It'll show hold you for a while. Especially with that drama, that music and drama too. Oh, I'm telling you, I wasn't lost, but I was on the brink. So what of these preachers, looked like he just couldn't get it together. He was faking his own excitement. It was obvious he was faking his own excitement. So a sister said, amen. He just kept going. She said, amen. He just kept going. After a while, another sister gave him, amen, amen. Two of them said amen. And I think he finally got the message. They meant close out. So we thank God for our presence here today. And every time you wake up, it's another day, you should feel good. Yes? You should feel good because each day is another chance to make it better. So you all in our radio audience, you be strong, keep your faith, be strong, because the world of suffering humans need all of us to live and work hard. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Now we are going to begin the second hour in just a few minutes.